The chairman of the Defence Select Committee, Julian Lewis, has said it would be a retrograde step if a consultation on legacy issues in Northern Ireland fails to consider a statute of limitations for those involved on both sides of the Troubles. Mr Lewis said ministers can't always have your cake and eat it. And he again called for action on the issue to protect British veterans from prosecution for their actions during the Troubles.
The purpose of my raising this yet again today is because of my concern about one particular point. The previous Secretary of State for Northern Ireland, whom we all welcome now back into the Cabinet in another capacity following his successful surgery, he initiated a consultation exercise that is supposed to be going ahead, and he specifically said that the question of whether to introduce a statute of limitations on the basis which I've described would be an option included in that consultation exercise. And I don't expect the Deputy Leader of the House to be able to answer this today, but I do expect him to take away my query, which is that I'm concerned that there have been suggestions that that option may not now be included in the consultation when it eventually happens after all. I think that would be a retrograde step. As we have seen over the issue of Brexit, sometimes you can't always have your cake and eat it. Sometimes you've got to decide whether you're going to have, i.e. keep your cake, or whether you're going to eat your cake, and you can't put off that point of making a direct choice forever. And if that is true about Brexit, it is also true about this ongoing problem of the vulnerability of our armed forces to one-sided prosecution. And the government needs to grip this matter. It has an opportunity to grip this matter, and I hope that it will grip this matter.
Yes, you can't always have your cake and eat it. Mr. Lewis is on the line. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Why have you repeated your call for a de facto amnesty for all those involved in the Troubles now?
Well, whenever you're trying to get some sort of political improvement, if at first you don't succeed, you have to keep pressing your case. But as I said in the extract from my speech that you've just played, I had regarded it as an encouraging sign that everybody, and that's absolutely everybody, who chose to respond to the consultation exercise was going to be given the opportunity to comment favourably or otherwise on the proposal for a statute of limitations, and therefore I couldn't see anything other than a loss to be had if that option weren't put in there. After all, if some people feel that this is not something they wish to approve, then they will have ample opportunity to say so and explain why.
Is it realistic to actually have anything that legally, you know, you could have other than an overall amnesty, as opposed to an amnesty for one side of a conflict?
Well, that you've got to the heart of the issue on only your second question, because the advice that we had from four eminent professors of law who gave us evidence when we published our report a few months ago was that it really probably has to be all or nothing, because if a government chooses to legislate just to protect its own soldiers, then it can be regarded as passing a law for the purposes of state impunity. Now, and this is where the problem comes in, because on one side of the argument, you have people who wish to see an amnesty for soldiers, but not for paramilitaries.
The likes of the DUP, who are propping up your government?
I'm not going to name any particular parties on any particular side of this argument. I'm just saying there's one side of the argument that wants to see one side of the people who were involved in the in these terrible troubles over so many years protected, but not the other. And then on the Republican side, you have people who wish to see the opposite happen and to see Republicans protected.
Yes.
And not security forces.
But let's be realistic.
And the advice that we got is that the only way to do this and not fall foul of international law is to do it for everybody and couple it with a truth recovery process, about which I hope we'll speak further.
Yes, but let's be realistic, Julian Lewis. You say you don't want to name particular parties, but the DUP, you've outlined their position yourself. They want this for veterans, but not for the other side, whereas they are propping up the Tories in government. So are you worried that you might upset the DUP?
Well, I have quite a bit of contact with DUP MPs in the normal course of parliamentary business. And in the course of the year or so on which I've been trying to encourage this particular development, I've even had the opportunity to have a serious and long talk with Sinn Féin MPs as well. And I get the impression that under the surface of both sides in this particular dispute, there is actually a greater area of reasonableness than perhaps they always feel able to articulate publicly. And that's why I feel that if the government were to go down the route that I've described and to bring in not only a statute of limitation, but a truth recovery process which will enable people at long last to say exactly what they remembered about everything that happened without fear of self-incrimination, that in fact I sometimes wonder whether some of these people who have to take partisan positions publicly secretly wouldn't actually be quietly relieved.
Do you really believe that Sinn Féin would support an amnesty for former British soldiers if that did include an amnesty for all?
I'm not sure that they would ever say that they would support it, but sometimes, you know, people are relieved to have a responsibility taken from them, whether it's people who are very strongly committed unionists or very strongly committed Republicans. And that, after all, is where the government has the opportunity to take a lead. But one thing I would like to stress, remember why you're having this interview with me at all, it's not about actually enacting this matter. It's about having the issue of this possibility of a statute of limitation and a truth recovery process included in the consultation exercise.
How do you think your comments will make victims of paramilitaries feel?
I didn't quite catch the last point. How do I think?
How do you think your comments will make the victims of paramilitaries feel? So those that have lost loved ones or have been injured themselves as a result.
Yes. Well, what I would say to the victims of paramilitaries is that probably this proposal would not have a chance of happening were it not already the case that those people who killed or maimed their loved ones are already restricted to serving no more than 2 years in jail anyway, which I think most people would say is not a proportionate sentence for such a serious offence. So if the result of this would be to draw a line and to prevent the persecution through legal methods of soldiers 40 years after the event who played such a key role in bringing about the peace settlement, I hope that is a sacrifice.
Yeah, but in terms of justice, I understand the point you're making regarding the 2 years, but some might feel at least it was some kind of justice as opposed to an amnesty, which would give them none at all in relation to persecution.
Well, it isn't an amnesty per se. What it is a trade-off. And the trade-off is that people can do what happened so successfully in South Africa under the wise and generous initiative of Nelson Mandela, who would have had every excuse to feel bitter and twisted after having spent such a large part of his life in prison. And that is to say that in return for people not putting themselves in a situation where they might serve up to 2 years in jail and probably less, they will be able at long last to say everything they remembered about everything that happened, and that in that sense, people will recover knowledge that otherwise will always remain hidden.
Let's go back to talking about the victims. Do you believe that they should almost make this sacrifice? in relation to the greater good, and that's all victims of the state as well?
Yes, in a word.
And how do you think they will react to hearing you say that? Because they're real people with real loved ones who they are still grieving and mourning for.
Well, it's not a... First of all, different people will react in different ways. I have some understanding of how they will feel because I, as it happens, come from a Jewish background and most of my family were murdered in the Second World War. And I understand what sort of scars and legacy legacy hatreds that sort of atrocity leaves you with. Nevertheless, it's not as if they are giving up an appropriate life sentence and that satisfaction of inflicting that punishment in return for the truth recovery process, which will help establish finally what happened in so many of these cases, possibly even lead to the recovery of the remains of some victims who are still missing, such as on the British Army side, Captain Robert Nerak, whose body has never been returned to his family, for example. And in return for that sort of closure, the sacrifice they're being asked to make is that instead of probably serving 12 months in jail out of a 2-year sentence, okay, the people do not go to jail, but they do then have the freedom to open up and tell the truth without incriminating themselves.
Yes, but that sacrifice...
I would hope that some people at least, would feel that was a result that they could live with.
Yeah, but obviously, and I want to make this real in relation to the people that you're talking about. So sacrifice from victims who have already sacrificed maybe their health, their loved one, their partner, their son, their daughter, and they have already, they would feel, have been punished for what happened during the Troubles. They've had a serious, a really personal loss, and you're saying you've sacrificed that already, maybe a person. Now you must sacrifice your grief in order for what some would describe as the greater good to move forward.
Well, it depends. No, I'm not quite saying
that. Well, it's sacrificing what they might describe as justice.
Yes, if you would describe as justice the person who killed or maimed your loved one spending probably not more than 12 months in jail. The reality is that it's not the jail sentence that matters. It's the final exposure of what really happened that matters. And as I say, if they were being asked to give up the prospect of people going to jail for life in return for this, I think that would be too much to ask of most people. But they're not. For better or for worse, that limitation has already been imposed of a relatively short prison sentence, even for the most heinous crimes. And therefore, the question is it worth giving that up in return for something which will enable closure and the explanation and the discovery of remains where appropriate and the ability finally to understand what really happened. And I would hope that people could rise to that challenge. But remember, what I was speaking about yesterday was simply putting a question in a consultation so that people could express their views either in favour or against having the statute of limitation.
Final question, just because we are a bit pushed for time. Would you extend the amnesty to members of the British forces who were accused of collusion during the Troubles?
I haven't considered that point. I think probably the answer is that all Troubles-related crimes that have not yet been solved after so many years, up to and including the date of the Belfast Agreement, should be treated in the same way. That would be my view.
Okay.
But I should just say, finally, that is my personal view. The report of the committee that I was on was concerned itself primarily with British soldiers because we are the Defence Committee of the House of Commons. But in the course of producing that report, it was made fairly clear by the eminent legal professors what we would have to do if we didn't want to fall foul of international law.
Okay. Thank you very much. That's the chairman of the Defence Select Committee, Julian Lewis. Thank you very much for your time this morning.